remember, the Rambam had two chidushim on the sheet of Bonim Harim Kisimanim compared to Tosos and the other Rishonim. One was that Bonim Kisimanim is only when you have Shanim. And that's what we analyzed in the second half of Shir last time. That what we said we were going to come back to, I don't remember if I wrote in the same order last time or not, but is that the Rambam says, Banim Kisimanim only Mishas Leda, as opposed to the other Rishon who said that it's Mishas Ibor. And that's the other issue that the Nosei Kelim deal with. And there are two questions that the Achronim bring up against this Rama. Sorry. One question which Chaim deals with is the Gemara and Ksubas daf lametesim and aleph. All right, really starts the last few words in lametesim beis. The Rambam seems to be against the Gemara in Ksubas. What does the Gemara say in Ksubas? The Gemara in Ksubas, and then you have to figure out what the real sheet of the Rambam is. This is a famous Reb Chaim. The Gemara in Ksubas daf lametes has been baya yesh beggar bekever or ain't beggar bekever. And at first the Gemara says they want to know when a girl is a bogeres, then her knas goes to herself, not to her father. So, what if a girl hits 12 and a half, becomes a bogeres, posthumously? Can it count? Is there something becoming a bogeres after you're dead? The Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? If the money, once she's dead, then if it's her father's money, it goes to her father. If it's her money, it goes to her father, because her father is her yorish. So they say, the nafkamina is if she has a kid. Does the money go to her or to her father? And then the Gemara says, no, that can't be the question. There can't be a question of whether a woman who becomes a bogeres after she dies, whether her knas goes to her father or kid, because you can't have a woman who had a baby who is not yet a bogeres. That's what the Gemara says in Ksubas. Therefore, they reject the question and say it must be a totally different question. You can't have a woman who had a baby who's already a bogeres. Why can't you have a woman who had a baby who's already a bogeres? Because, this is the Gemara in Ksubas, what does it say? You can't have a woman who has a baby before she is a bogeris. And they quote our Brisa. Why? Because if you have a baby when you're a katana, then you die. Sorry, if you get pregnant when you're a katana, you die. If you get pregnant when you're a nara, then, how long does it take to have a baby? At least 6 months. At least 6 months to have a baby. Okay, you tell me nowadays, they can take preemies after 5 months, but that didn't work in those days. Right, so it takes at least 6 months to have a baby, and by the time 6 months passes, she'll be a bogeris. Right? That's what the Gemara says in Ksubos. What's the problem? What's the two kashas on this Rambam? According to the other Rishonim, this works, right? According to the other Rishonim, why does this work? Because at the Shas Ibor, Bonim Kisimanim, she becomes a Nara, right? At Shas Ibor, she becomes a Nara, because Bonim Kisimanim, Mishas Ibor, right? And therefore, Shas Leda is at least 6 months later, so she's already a bogeris. That is how all the Rishonim besides the Rambam read this Gemara. That you can't have a girl who has a baby before she's a bogeris, because Banim Kisimanim, the second she gets pregnant with a viable fetus, she becomes a nara. 6 months later, she's a bogeris. She has to give birth more than 6 months later, at least 6 months and 1 day later, in order to have a viable baby, and then she's already a bogeris. The problem is for the Rambam, he's against the Gemara in Ksuvos, because according to the Rambam, you're not a, it's not Kesimanim until she gives birth, right? So according to the Rambam, she's not a Nara until she gives birth. So because for the Rambam, you only become a Nara. She only becomes a Nara when she gives birth. And then, you know, she only got it. Then she can have a baby 6 months before she's a Bogeris. Right, we're not talking about a woman who had Saros. Let's say a girl who didn't have Saros, right? But because she when she gives birth. So when she gives birth, she's not a Bogeris yet. She has a full 6 months, she's a Bogeris. So she can have a case of a woman who gives birth and died before she's a Bogeris. That's against the Gemara Ksuvos. That is the kasha of all the achronim against the Rambam. And Reb Chaim, in order to answer this kasha on the Rambam, says the Rambam is a little more complicated than we thought. This is Reb Chaim's chiddush in Perek Ishus, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes. How do you answer this? So Reb Chaim says, anyone want to try answering this question? The Gemara in Ksuba says you can't have a case of a woman who gives birth when she's not a Bogeris yet. According to the Rama, of course. You only become a Nara when you give birth. You're not a Bogeris yet. So, says the, says Ruchayim says from here we see that maybe the Rambam's Shita is not as clear as we thought. We thought the Rambam says Banim Kisimanim only Mishas Leda. Maybe not so pashut. Maybe not so pashut. The Reb Chaim says, really, also holds that banim kisimanim, or rather, that Ibor is like Simanim. Here he has two different formulations. Really, the Rambam also holds Ibor is like Simanim. The Rambam really also agrees with the other Rishonim. If the Rambam also agrees with the other Rishonim, then why doesn't he say so? So he says the Rambam also agrees Ibor is Kisimanim. Just, what kind of, first answer, Rechaim, what kind of pregnancy is Kisimanim? Only a pregnancy which... which is viable. Only a pregnancy which is viable. So Rambam says, what's the Reb Chaim says, the other Rishonim understood, a viable pregnancy is like Simanim. So we might not know if it's viable or not, but Veliona became and told us it was viable or not. We would know whether it's Simanim or not. The Rambam just adds one thing. Pregnancy is only Simanim if she ends up having a live baby. A pregnancy which leads to a live baby is Simanim. If she had a viable pregnancy, but then all of a sudden was killed in a tragic car crash, that wouldn't be Simanim. It's only Kisimanim. Eber is like Simanim if she has a live baby. Not if she could theoretically have a live baby. That's what Chaim's first pitch. She actually has a baby. Banim Kisimanim. Only Banim Kisimanim. Right? Not Eber Kisimanim. Banim Kisimanim. Now, the Banim might be Kisimanim for the moment she was pregnant. That's the sin that she got pregnant. But it's only Kisimanim if she has Banim. And then, Reb Chaim says his... this is the Chiddush which you're familiar from the exact same Reb Chaim that I mentioned once in the Sugya of Miyun. And therefore he says that when she gives birth, now we know. Well, let's take the first one. Now we know that she was a gedola 9 months ago, right? But It only applies mikan ulahaba. That is Rav Chaim's chiddush. Rav Chaim's chiddush is this is what the later achronim nicknamed mikan ulahaba l'makreya. Rav Chaim's first way of saying his chiddush is that really banu kesiman of the moment she got pregnant, but it's not really completed until she has the baby. So it's like when she has the baby, it's simanim from the time she was pregnant. So what does that mean? When she has the baby, it's simanim from the time she was pregnant. So he says, but he says that it's not that when she has the baby, now we know all along she was a gdolah when she got pregnant. That would be pure regular lamafreya. He says no, because until she had the baby, the simanim wasn't complete. Here you have a simanim that like goes back 9 months or however long it took, but it's not complete till the end of the 9 months. Until she gives birth, it's not a real simanim. So what do you do when you have something that really goes back 9 months, but wasn't completed until now? He says, that's what the later Achronim nicknamed Mikan Ulahaba Mafreya. Now we say she was a Gdola all along, but we can only apply that from now on. So we can only apply that from now on. So that's what the Rambam says. When can we start applying the fact she's a Gdola? We can start applying it from now on. But we know it happened 9 months ago. Lemafreya, but we only apply it from now on. Therefore what? Therefore, at Shas Leda, we apply her Na'aro status and Bogera status simultaneously. That is Rav Chaim's Chiddush. His Chiddush is the second she gives birth, she becomes a Nara and Bogeris at the same time. Why? She becomes a Nara now because you can only apply from now on. But she also becomes a Bogeris now. Why? She was really a Nara 9 months ago. It only applies from now on, but she was really a Nara 9 months ago. If she was really a Nara 9 months ago, then by now she's a Bogeris. So she goes from being a Ketana to immediately being a Bogeris. How can that be? Isn't there only 6 months in between? So see, there is 6 months in between. She was really a Nara 9 months ago, but we can only apply it from now on. That's, again, with a later nickname, Mikan Ulahaba L'Mafreya. And therefore, when it comes to when we start treating her, when she was she a Nara? 9 months ago. When was she a Bogeris? 3 months ago. When can we start applying all these things? Only now do we start applying them. So really, she, let's say, she was a Nara 9 months ago. She was a Bogeris 3 months ago. But it only applies from now on. And therefore, we start applying her status of Nara and Bogeris at the same time when she gives birth. That's what kind of big chiddush, that there's such a thing, as we know there's such a thing as things that are chal from now on. That's what mikan ulahaba. We know there's such things as lamafreya. Things that were always there, we just didn't know about it, but they were always there. Like, we could theoretically have known if we were really smart, we just didn't know. But up in Shemayim, they knew. Here is this chiddush, there are things that really, now we view as happening 9 months ago, 3 months ago. But they only apply from now on, because since the requirements were only completed now, therefore, even though it happened 9 months ago, and she was a Bulgaris 3 months ago, we only apply it Lamaisa now.
Is there any nafkamina of her actually being a Nara like 9 months ago?
That will start counting 6 months towards being a Bulgaris.
Otherwise, no,
I don't think so. And that's, again, that's the same thing he said about Mion, that in Mion you uproot the original Kiddushin, but even though you've uprooted the original Kiddushin, you only uprooted them from now. You only apply that starting now. That was another Kiddush that we mentioned about Miriam. Later on in this piece.
Is there a logic to arguing that whether or not she ends up delivering a live baby, that impacts the validity of the sin that she's a Gedola now? Or just technicality that we don't know that it was really, you know?
No, Rav Chaim assumes the former. Now you ask why he assumes that. Wouldn't it be more reasonable to assume the latter? That's a good question. The Rav understood that he didn't really have to answer that. That this was Shitase the Rambam. After all, Amram Chaim really hints at this. Why does the Rambam say banu kesimanim only when you're 12, not beforehand? Because the Rambam's interested in a certain formal getter of godless, not necessarily just practically how mature you are. So part of that is, if he was interested in practically how mature you are, then the moment you get pregnant with a viable fetus, you're mature. If he's interested in no, the formal requirements of halos gadlus, then that could be bunim and could require the actual birth. Even though it doesn't really explain it, but I think that's where Reb Chaim is coming from. So that's Reb Chaim's first famous answer here. He says that the Rambam goes, the kasha, the Rambam was, if she only becomes a nar when she gives birth, then she's not a bogeris yet. But the Gemara Ksuba says anyone who gives birth is a bogeris. The answer is no, she becomes a nar bogeris at the same time. How could that be? Don't 6 months have to pass? Yeah, really 6 months did pass, because really she became a nar lamafreya and a bogeris lamafreya. It just only applies halachically mikan lahaba, and that's his finish. You can have something that we say halachically happened lamafreya, but only comes into effect, only actually has a nafkamina, only actually makes a practical difference, is practically applied mikan lahaba. That's a real brain teaser of Reb Chaim here. That's Reb Chaim's first explanation. That's Reb Chaim's first explanation to Reb Chaim's first explanation to the Rambam. Reb Chaim has a second explanation to the Rambam. Also, he has a slightly different variation. Reb Chaim's second explanation is the same thing. He just says a little different. He doesn't forget this fancy Kanala Bala Mafreya thing. He says a little simpler, says Reb Chaim. He says that maybe Bunim are Simonim Lemafreya Mishas Ibor, but are only godless Mishas Leda. So anyway, he's doing chaz. You see, manim and godless. Remember, the Rambam Shitase holds if you see manim before 12, then it's not godless. They might be simanim from the moment she's pregnant, but they're only godless from the time that she gave birth. And therefore, he says, the 6 months, everyone knows, right, that in yeshiva for a year or two, there's 6 months between Narus and Bagrus. For a girl, the 6 months of Bagrus start ticking Mishas Simanim. So therefore, he basically says, comes out with the same result. When she gives birth, she becomes a Nara, that's godless. A Nara and Bogeris. Simultaneously, why? Because she has godless, and 6 months post simanim. So both of Chaim's approaches are trying to go in approximately the same direction. What he's trying to say is that even though the Rambam holds bottom kisimanim only from the moment she gives birth, you really start counting the 6 months towards bogeris when she gets pregnant. And therefore, when she gives birth, she's also bogeris. He just has two slightly different formulations. Why is it that you would count the bunim simonim only when she gives birth, but start taking the 6 months of godless when she gets pregnant? Either because really it happened to Afrei, we can just only apply it mikan l'haba, or because there's simonim and godless are two different things. The godless is only from the time she gives birth, but the simonim are l'Afrei, and the 6 months of bagrus start ticking from the simonim, not from the godless. That's Reb Chaim's two explanations.
Going to the second one, what happens after the 6 months over before
she actually... Aha, so Reb Chaim deals with that, and he says, but there's another hidden condition, which is that you can't be bogeris without being a nara, and therefore the bogeris lies in wait. And it remains in potential until she becomes a nara, and then she simultaneously becomes a bogeris.
What if that all happens before she's 12?
What if that all happens before she's 12? Then, what if that all happens before she's 12? So, says Reb Chaim a little later, if we assume, unlike the Rashi, that she can have a viable baby before she's 12, then he says, all of this just, I think he does say, yeah. He says, all of this, let's say she goes pregnant at 11 and 3/4, right? Or at 11 and a half. She becomes pregnant at 11 and a half. Then Reb Chaim wants to say that the Bagra starts ticking from 11 and a half, and then just waits for her to become a Nara, so if she gave birth before 12, this is an interesting question, Rambam. What happens exactly if she gives birth before 12 and then turns 12? It's not 100% clear in the Rambam, but Reb Chaim might say in that case that, yeah, it just all lies in potential. When she turns 12, it's all chal simultaneously. So that's Reb Chaim's two explanations of the Rambam, and basically Reb Chaim's chiddush here is that you thought there was a katzel or katzel machlokes. The other Rishonim said banim kesimanim from the moment she's pregnant. The Rambam says banim kesimanim when she gives birth and doesn't care about the moment she becomes pregnant. Chaim says can't be, because then how would she be a bogeris when she gave birth? One of the ignoring subas. Must be the Rambam also admits banim kesimanim when she gets pregnant, but she's only a gedola when she gives birth. How does that work? So either the first explanation, it's really not Freya, but it only applies from the moment that all the conditions are met. Or the second explanation, the simonimness of it, which is what starts the Bagra's clock ticking, is from the moment she becomes pregnant. The actual godless that comes out of it, that only applies when she gives birth. The Reb Chaim doesn't exactly explain why that is, but the assumption, I think, is that, you know, the godless is a more formal requirement. And therefore, you have to actually have bunin, you have to actually complete the process, as opposed to the bagrus, which is just a matter of a certain level of maturity, and then 6 months after a certain level of maturity, you reach a higher level of maturity, therefore we already know she had the maturity when she got pregnant.
Does anybody hold that childbirth forces bagrus immediately, forgetting all the other stuff?
So that's what the Chazon Ish wants to say. There's a Chazon Ish in Siman Kuf Lamed Hei, which is Aras and Yavamos on Daf Lamed, Ksubis, on Daf Lamed Tes. The Chazon Ish says, don't give me any fancy Reb Chaims. There's just a special rule that when you become a gedola through birth instead of saros, you become a bogeris immediately. There's a special rule that birth counts as simanei bagros without waiting 6 months. The Chiddush of the Chazon Ish said, you thought there was always, you always had to wait 6 months between simanim and bagros. Says no. You have to wait 6 months between Saros and Bagrus. But Leida is automatic Bagrus. And he brings a rag that an Islandist goes straight from Cottonus to Bagrus. Later in life. An Islandist goes straight from Cottonus to Bagrus. So that is the Chazon Ish says, don't give me any of these fancy Reb Chaims. It's just a special rule that when you give birth, you go straight to Bagrus. And then he, you know, that's the Chazon Ish's, I think, favorite pastime is denying fancy Reb Chaims. You know, he actually, some people published Reb Chaim with the Chazon Ish in the back. There's one edition of Reb Chaim with the Chazon Ish in the back, which is who all the Reb Chaims and says they're all wrong. You know, Kayadua, they hold their Halimut, etc. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. There's also, Okay, so there are other ways out of the Rambam. There's also another way out of the Rambam, the Iri and Ar Sugya. He's not trying to answer with the Rambam. He said, you know what, maybe don't take the Gemara Ksubas too literally. It never actually meant that you can't give birth before you're Bogeris. It just meant that it's not a common thing to happen. Because it's sort of uncommon that girls get pregnant before they have Shei Saros. So you could get out of the, right, if you wanted to have two other answers, besides the two answers of Reb Chaim. The Chazon Ish just says, I think we're correct on the Korah sheet, so I have to put where it is, just says the special rule that Leda counts as Narus and Bagrus. Special rule that Leda counts as Narus and Bagrus, and you don't need to make any fancy Heshbonos. And then, there's a Me'iri here, who's not trying to answer the Rambam. Me'iri says, the Gemara in Ksubos never meant you can't have Leda before Bagrus, which is where this whole question started. Never meant that. Just meant that it's uncommon to have Leda before Bagrus. That's all the Gemara learns. It just meant it's uncommon. The Rambam would also admit it's uncommon. So what's the only way to have Leda before Bagrus? if you have laid up before your gdola. And that's uncommon, and therefore he says, don't pay any attention to any more ksubas, it never meant it. Okay, so we have different ways of reading the Rambam. Basically, if you take the Chazon Ish or this Me'iri, he wasn't trying to read the Rambam, he was just trying to say pshat. In the Gemara Ksubas, you could say the Rambam really meant Bani Pesimanim Shas Leino. The other Rishonim really meant Bani Pesimanim Shas Ibor. According to Rav Chaim, the Rambam really meant something a little fancy. In between, that the 6 months of Bagrus start taking Mishas Ibor, the godless is only Chal Mishas Leino. Why? First explanation, because Mikanel Havalam Afreya. Second explanation, because of the difference between Simonim and godless. The Simonim start the 6 months ticking, and those are Mishas Ibor. The godless is only Chal Mishas Leino. For that, you know, because the 6 months of Bagrus, we think they start taking from godless. No, they really start taking from Simonim. Okay, that's the first kasha of the Rambam. The second kasha of the Rambam is even more interesting. We're out of room. Okay, you can consider the cost of the iPhone to be a charitable deduction to why your Torah. Now, the second kasha on the Rambam is more intuitive, and that's the Magid Mishnah already asks. And this is a kasha on the Rambam Lashitase. What's the second kasha? Anyone remember how our whole Gemara got started in Yevamos? How did our whole Gemara make it into Yevamos? But what did the Mishnah say can't ever happen? Chamoso Mema'enes, right? That's how it all started. And it was all about how you can never have, why can't you ever have Chamoso Mema'enes? Because to be Chamoso, she has to have a baby, right? And once she has a baby, she's a gedola. So the kasha on the Rambam is Imkain Mapsinu Chamoso Mema'enes. There's also a bit of a kasha on the first sheet of the Rambam. But more of it, for sure it's a kasha on the sheet of the Rambam. How can you have Chamoso Mema'enes? Because, what's the case, what can be the case be? If a girl gets pregnant before Shtei Saros, if a girl gets pregnant before Shtei Saros, then her brother-in-law is Mekadesh the Ubar, then she's Mema'enes. Very simple. You can have Chamoso Mema'enes. According to the Rambam, the Machlokas, Rambam the Ravid, can you be Mekadesh the Ubar? Right? Obviously not through her directly, through the father, right? If I give kiddush to the father and I say, your unborn daughter is mekudeshesli. So the Rambam holds you can't be mekadesh an uber, because what principle? The Rambam holds you can't be mekadesh an uber, that's not a problem, davar shloboli olam, you can't be mekadesh an uber. So, says the Rambam, you can't be mekadesh an uber. So the Rambam l'shitase said that you can't be mekadesh an uber. The Rambam l'shitase. So, what can happen? A girl gets pregnant before she has Shtei Saros. And the brother-in-law is Mekadesh the Ubar. And then, she's Mema'enes. Right? And then, her husband dies. This is a case of Chamoso Mema'enes. Right there. Now she falls before the brother-in-law, who is Mekadesh, her unborn daughter. So, basically, she falls before her son-in-law. She's chamoso of the brother-in-law. And she did miyun. So you can have a case of chamoso mema'enes, according to which exactly the whole point of the Gemara was to defend the thesis that lo matzinu chamoso mema'enes. So that's the basic problem. The whole Mishnah says you can't have chamoso mema'enes. Yet the yoch lomar ben chamoso ve'im chamos ve'im chamim she'nimtzu ayin asosha miyana. But here you can have chamoso mema'enes, right? It's, I don't know how to draw families on the board. But here you have Reuben and Shimon, right? They're brothers. Reuven marries Rachel, and she is now pregnant with Ubar, female Ubar. Right? What's marriage? Let's make this marriage. Now Shimon marries that Ubar, and Reuven dies. Now Shimon's mother-in-law is falling before him for Yibun, and she can still do Mion. Why? According to the other Mishonim, she can't do Mion. Once she became pregnant, she's a Gedola. Banim k'simanim ishas Iber. But for the Rambam, there's no Banim k'simanim. She can still do Mion until she gives birth. So then you can have Hamoso m'ma'eres. She's Hamoso. She's Shimon's Hamoso. And she can still be a m'ma'eres. Because until she gives birth, she's not a Gedola. The Rambam holds Banim k'simanim is only when she gives birth. So that's the kasha the Magen Mishnah already asked on the Rambam. Again, if the Rambam was not the Rambam, it would be okay. Because the Rambam holds you can't be Mekadosh anymore. But the Rambam is the Rambam. So he asked, he says, Vasugya Shavivamos Kashala Zeh, Zeh Perishim Kevatinu Chamos Bim Ma'enes, Yishal Tarets. She was sober, but after she told the Amychol of mine, well, an overladen man, no, once she gives birth, she can't do Mion. Okay, but she can still do Mion while she's pregnant. But dying caution, the Mashkach is loving Mekadish Abbas with Bet and Ima. If Reuven or Shimon or whoever it was, Shimon was Mekadish the girl while Rachel was still pregnant. But after Hukar Ubra, the Rambam says it has to be after 3 months of pregnancy. That's the only time it's considered Dabash Abal Yolam. Rabbeinu Sumshim Kadeshas Kanisra Perk Zayin. Okay. So you have Chamoso, Mima'enes, because she's still, according to Rambam, she's still a katana, no matter what lam she's saying, until she gives birth. Of the whole Mishnah, you can't have Chamoso Mima'enes, so what's the answer? So how do we answer this kasha? So the Magen Mishnah answers this kasha. What does the Magen Mishnah say? He says, the lav vadai chamos he bishas miyun. She's not a vadai chamos bishas miyun. What does it mean she's not a vadai chamos bishas miyun? How do you answer this? Right? Big kasha. For the Rambam, Tzino chamos and Ma'enes. That's the whole point of our sugya, is to defend the Mishnah that says Lomotzino. The whole point of Banu Kizimanim was to beef up the Mishnah that says Lomotzino chamos and Ma'enes. So for all the other Rishonim, of course, once she's pregnant, she's too old to do Mion. Nothing to talk about. For the Ram, if she can do Mion while she's pregnant, that's clear. Remember the Ram, Bas Hamim Ma'enes? You can't have Ma'enes who has a baby. So here, have Ma'enes while she's pregnant, and you can have Chamoso Ma'enes. So
is it possible that even though the Ram says he can't even have the Ubar, the Kedusha doesn't chal till it's born?
Aha. Okay, so there are three ways to answer this. One way is, right, what Yoni says, this is a Ram. The Ram's not saying it to answer this kasha, but there are two ways to understand the Rambam. What does it mean you can even kasha Uber? Right? So Yoni says, this is a Ram. Answer. The Ram. The Ram says, no, you can be Mekadesh and Uber to be chal when it's born. You can't actually be mekadesh to ubar. It just means you can say haray bitcha mekudeshesh lekashetele. The Rambam doesn't really think you can mekadesh to ubar, says Yoni, which is a Ran. The Rambam doesn't really think that they're chayim kol. The Rambam doesn't really, in Perek Zayin, where the Rambam talks about mekadesh to ubar. The Rambam doesn't, how can you really be mekadesh to ubar? An ubar is not a person. Can't be Mekadosh at Ubar. The Rambam means is that it's early enough that you can make a Kiddushin for when she's born. Like, for example, the Rambam would say, okay, Dekel LePeirosa, or even Peiros Dekel, the Rambam would say, look, you know what? I can sell you, okay, it's hard to find a good parallel, but he says it doesn't mean it's Chal now. It means it's Chal later. That's what the Rambam says. You can do a future You can't. Actually, be mekadesh an uvar, just make kiddushin that are chal later when she's born. So that solved the whole problem. Okay, you can't be mekadesh an uvar. Really, there's no such thing as kiddushin an uvar. You can't be chamoso. Can't be mekadesh an uvar. Till she's born, there's no kiddushin. What you can do is make kiddushin to be potentially chal later, but you can't actually have chamosa while she's an uvar. Solve the whole problem. Beautiful. The Rav Chaim points to the Magid Mishnah, and the Mukhei Yosef don't think so. That's not the simplest shot of the Rambam. The simplest shot of the Rambam is Zayin to Zayin. Actually not so clear. Okay, that's the Rambam's shot in the Rambam. However, the Magen Mishnah obviously doesn't think it's shot in the Rambam. He thinks you can really be Mekadesh an Uber. He points out the Magen Mishnah, Mukhei Yosef, think you can really be Mekadesh an Uber. So what's another answer? A second answer is, I think what the Magen Mishnah means, she's not a Vade Chamos B'Shas Miyun, and the Aruch Lanier says this a lot clearer. That, really, you can have chamoso mima enes. Oh, so what did the Mishnah say that we never found chamoso mima enes? Says the Magen Mishnah. Really, you can't have chamoso mima enes. Just, you can't really call it chamoso mima enes at the time. You can have chamoso mima enes. The Mishnah doesn't mean you can't have chamoso mima enes. You can have chamoso mima enes. It's just you can't really call it chamoso mima enes at the time. Why? Because at the time when she's pregnant, is she really chamoso? No, that depends on, well, in the old days, whether she's pregnant with a boy or a girl, right? They didn't have ultrasounds, right? So you can't really call her chamoso because you don't know that she's chamoso. Maybe she's pregnant with a boy, maybe she's pregnant with a girl. Not only that, what's the other suffix always? Maybe she's pregnant with a nephel, right? Maybe she's not pregnant with any viable fetus. Truth is, what are the odds? The odds are that she's not pregnant with a viable girl, right? Girls are 50%, boys are 50%, and then some girls are not viable, so therefore it's less than 50%. So that's the argument says, La badai chamosu bishas miyun. At the time of miyun, you can't really look at it and say, oh, here's a chamosu mima enes, because you never really know if it's chamosu or not. Because how do you know what she's pregnant with? Maybe she's pregnant with an afel, maybe with a boy, maybe with a girl. So he says that, basically, he says, I admit, the Rambam pleads guilty. You can have chamosu mima enes. Just, it's not, what it means is you can't really call it chamosu mima enes. That's the Magen Mishnah. That's a little dachuk saying you can have chamosu mima enes, just at the time you can never know that it's chamosu mima enes. Meaning 6 months later, you'll know that it's chamosu mima enes. Let's say in the end she does miyun and then gives birth to a healthy girl, then you'll know she was chamosu mima enes. But at the time it's never so clear, and that's when the Mishnah says that you can't say chamosu shemiyana. What it means is that you can, just like it's never clear until later. It's a bit of a dachuk pshat. The Aruch Lanier takes a pretty similar pshat. He says, like, yeah, you can have chosma enes, you just wouldn't have called it that until later. That's a bit of a dachuk pshat. Because really, you can have chamosma enes. Just means the newspapers wouldn't have on that day called it chamosma enes. Because they'd say, we're waiting to see what happens. But really, you can have chamosma enes. Rav Chaim has. This is not the Rav Chaim on Beis test. The Rav Chaim on the Sugya of Mekadesh Uber on Rambam Zayin to Zayin. Rav Chaim says a new pshat, which is a halfway what you'll be saying. Rav Chaim says, and here's the tremendous chiddush. This really comes on to a very sodistic hakira. As a matter of fact, Rav Gusterman in the Kunshei Shira, the first Shira in Kiddushin, which is a very, very famous one, takes this Rav Chaim and really runs with it and makes it into a big yesod. For understanding Kiddushin, he says that you can be Mekadesh and Ubar immediately. But it doesn't create an Isser on her. You can't be Mekadesh and Ubar on her mother. You can be Mekadesh and Ubar. You can be Mekadesh and Ubar. You know why you can't have Chamoso Me'enes? Because until she's born, she's not Chamoso. You can be Mekadesh and Ubar, but her mother's still Mutter to you. I'm Mekadesh and Ubar, her mother's not Chamoso. So basically, yes, Shimon is Mekadesh and Ubar, but Rachel is not Chamoso. Rachel is a stranger to him. Why? Isn't she the mother of his wife? No, no, no. The mother of an Ubar wife is not called Chamoso. That's the point. That he says that an Ubar can be, well, there's at least a second formulation, can be Mekudeshes, but her mother is not Chamoso. If I'm a, I can be Mekadesh an Ubar, but her mother's not Chamoso and her sister is not Achos Isha for the same money. Why not? So Chaim says here, a very sort of the Chakira, the nature of Kiddushin. What is Kiddushin? He says, what is Kiddushin all about? How do you look at Kiddushin? Right? One way of looking at Kiddushin is as a, here I'm adding a little, right? What is the mechalik between the Kiddushin and, what's the catchphrase he uses? So first he wants to say something very subtle. You're Mekadesh her, but she's not Miskadeshes. Okay, then he says it a lot easier. No, you're Mekadesh her. But you have Kiddushin, but you don't have, what? You don't have Ishus. He says, what does it mean you have Kiddushin, but you don't have Ishus? There are two ways of looking at the whole nature of this relationship of Kiddushin. One way of looking at this relationship is from a Kenyan perspective, right? Kiddushin, from a Kenyan perspective, right? Do I have a Kenyan? The answer is, because an Ubar is not such a Davar Shelo Balil, once it's Huka Ubra, it's already Miktsas Ba'olam, therefore, you can have a Kenyan. But she's still not an Isha. I can have a Kenyan Kiddushin. But she's still not, I can't have Ishus. Right? You can't have, what does Ishus mean? Ishus means the relationship of Kiddushin. You can have the Kenyan Kiddushin. I'm adding the words Kenyan relationship. That's what he says. You can have Kiddushin, but you can't have Ishus. Why? Because she's not a person. So technically, through some technicality, I said, you know what? She's partially Bali Olam. She's enough Bali Olam that I can have a Kenyan. But just because I can have a Kenyan doesn't mean she's kept of a wife. How can she be a wife? She's not even born yet. So I have a Kenyan on her, but she's not my wife. What does that mean? I have the Kenyan aspect of Kiddushin. This is the $64,000 question, right? What's Kiddushin all about? Is Kiddushin really a Kenyan? Or is Kiddushin about a certain relationship called Ishus between Ish and Isha? So Rechaim answers, well, there's usually both aspects to it. When a normal man is Mekadesh a normal woman, there's a Kenyan there, there's a Halos Kenyan Kiddushin, and it creates a relationship of Ishus between them. But in an Ubar, I can have Kenyan Kiddushin, but I don't have a relationship of Ishus, because how can you have Ishus if she's not born yet, she's not an Isha yet? Now how can you talk about Isha Isha if she's not even born yet? So that's what he says, you can have, what do you mean Kiddushin? I have Kiddushin. Meaning, someone else can't be Mekadesh her now, right? If someone else comes to be Mekadesh her, it's too late. I already have the Kenyan Kiddushin, right? If she wants to back out, it's too late. I already have the Kenyan Kiddushin. But you can't say there's Ishus yet. Because how can there be Ishus if someone's not even a person yet? You can only have Ishus with a person. So says Rav Chaim that since, why? Because you have Kenyan Kiddushin, but not the relationship of Ishus. Then, adds Rav Chaim, what makes my wife's relatives usher to me? Why can't I marry my wife's, my mother-in-law? Not because I have Kiddushin on my wife. That's not what asks her mother-in-law. What asks her mother-in-law is the Ishus between myself and my wife. When you have an Ishus relationship, I have an Ishus relationship with my wife, that makes her mother usher, makes her mother's a relative. Right? The Kiddushin, the Kenyan, doesn't make anyone usher. It's just that I have Kenyan. Why does that make anyone my relative? Right? It's not the Kenyan that makes someone my relative. It's the Ishus. Now she's my mother-in-law. What does mother-in-law mean? That's a Ishus. She's my relative. She's the mother of my wife. I have this relationship with my wife, which makes my mother-in-law, Arias, makes my mother-in-law too close of a relative to marry. So that's what Chaim says. I mean, once you admit there's Sfei Dinim in Kiddushin, right? That's it. He doesn't use the words. But once you admit there's Sfei Dinim in Kiddushin, Chaim flows very nicely. He says there's two parts to Kiddushin. There's the four Kenyan, which is my rights, and there's the Ishus relationship. He says, yeah, even though the Rambam is Machadish, I can have a Kenyan on Uber, how can you call it Ishus? And so I have the Kenyan without the Ishus. I have half of Kiddushin without the other half. And if I have half of Kiddushin without the other half, then logically, which half should the Isra Arayas flow from? From the Kenyan half? No. Why should the Kenyan half make her relative Zasher to me? It's the Ishus half that makes her relative Zasher to me. Since I have Kenyan without Ishus, therefore her mother's not Zasher to me, and therefore, says the Reb Chaim, that's why lo motzin v'cham bosom ma'enes, because until she gives, once she gives birth, there's no more Mian. And until she gives birth, there's no Isser Chamboso. So he says, you can Mekadosh, but it doesn't get Isser mother. So, she's not Chamboso. Until Leda. And therefore, you can't find Chamboso Mama Enes, because until Leda, while she's still young enough to be Mema'enes, until Leda, she's not Chamoso. Once she's old enough that she's Bani Kisvenim Leda, once she's old enough to be Chamoso, then it's too late to be Mema'enes. So here you really can't find, ever have a case of Chamoso Mema'enes, because at the time of Mia, which is pre-birth, she's not your mother-in-law yet, because the Kiddushin of a Ubar does not create an Isser of mother-in-law.
But it's not Shayach Ishus to a newborn baby either.
Okay, so that is a good point, meaning even if you have a one-day-old baby, clearly it's not Shaykh Ishus in the normal sense of the word. So clearly not Roy Zabiya and not Roy to normal human functioning at this point.
And basically, so that Arayos comes from Ishus.
Then how is it Ishus a one-day-old baby? So, Reb Chaim would say, he would say, what does Ishus mean? Ishus doesn't necessarily mean a very, very deep and broad relationship in the present. Ishus means a relationship between two people. You have to be an Isha to have Ishus. Once you have an Isha and an Isha, even if the Isha is one day old, then we say this is a very, this is an Ishus that you can't really do much with for a long time. But you'd say once you're a person, then you can really, this is my mother-in-law, because there's a real person who I'm married to who's her daughter. Even though that person doesn't have a very strong relationship, but still, once you have a person, you can have a relationship between two people, even though it is a little funny, in the common sense of the word. You wouldn't think of a real Ishus relationship between a one-day-old baby or a one-minute-old baby and a husband. But once you're a person, then you can still have a personal relationship, even if the personal relationship is more future-oriented, and call that Ishus. So you're right, you could theoretically say until you're three there's no Ishus, or until you're whatever there's no Ishus. But I think it's reasonable to say, once you're a human being, once you're an Isha, then you can have Ishus even if it's a very, funny out-of-the-way case. But if you're not even a person, then that's a fundamental of government.
The Torah says a father can be Mekadesh a Ketana. So you don't need any more than that. The Torah doesn't say at what age.
No, you could theoretically have said, but you don't have the Ishus aspect yet.
Yeah, but the Torah defines it as a Ketana that you have all the Isurim of Ergo on. So it's...
Right, no, right. Okay, I hear you on these times. But I think the answer might just be that there's something to being a human being, which is a quantum leap above not being a person yet, which is still significant.
Couldn't you say simpler that the Kenyan is only Chal at the moment that she's born?
That's what the Ran says. Right? The Kenyan is only Chal at the moment that she's born. However, Chaim points out that the other Rishonim disagree with the Ran. The truth is the Ran is Beseder, but the other Rishonim disagree with the Ran. But the other Rishonim disagree with the Ran. Yeah, you could say that. You could say the other Rishonim are wrong, and then Shalom al Yisrael. But the other Rishonim disagree with the Ran, and that's what Reb Chaim is trying to answer up.
It should be the same. It makes sense. You can see the Ubar essentially an object. You can have a king on an object, or you can have an Ishus on an object. But in terms of what the Isra Arayas is related to, doesn't it seem to make sense that it relates to the king aspect? In other words, once you have the king in Kiddushin, so she does become a Asura to some people, she becomes a Asura to Kahal, right? So why wouldn't you say that's the point of what she becomes a suitor, whoever she's going
to You could. I think that's what Rechaim wanted to say first, that he's Mekadesh her, but she's not a Miskadeshes. That was very subtle, that he might have the kinyan rights over her, but since she's not a person yet, she can't really be a Surah Lekuli Alma Kehekdesh, and you can't have any chalos on her yet. That's a very, very subtle, difficult lumnus to say that he was koner her, but she is not yet asura lekuli alma. Because, I mean, that's true in a tactical sense, but that's very subtle. And that's why it's easier to assume that the arayas flows from the isha's aspect, which you're saying is not mocha, but still, arayas might be different from isra kuli alma kehektish.
Interesting question, though. Where, like, Yerusha and Ksuva, which side do they go on? Do they go to the Kinyan
side? Yerusha and Ksuva, I think, would definitely go to... Yerusha and Ksuva, that's an interesting question, but I think, especially given the fact that Yerusha and Ksuva only apply from Nisuim, not from Erusin, right? There's no Ksuva for Arusa, and there's no Yerusha for Arusa, so therefore I would say that they have to flow from the Isha side. Therefore, according to Rav Chaim, no chiddush coming back, because Lamaisi can't have a chuppah anywhere. Right. So there wouldn't be enough gemina. But it would have been interesting.
Would the Rambam say that kiddushin is tofsin by the mother of the Uber?
I think the Rambam would. The Rambam would say kiddushin is tofsin by her. Yeah.
And then what would happen when the baby's born?
That would be a very fascinating question. Meaning, if the mother's really not arise yet, then kiddushin should be tofsin, right? But if kiddushin is tofsin, what happens when the baby's born? Then you're married to a girl and her mother simultaneously, which should be against the rules. So the Rama might say, all right, happens anyway. Now once she's born, you're usher on both of them, right? Because one is your daughter-in-law and one is your mother-in-law, and you have to divorce them both. I think that's what the Rama would say. It would come out very funny. But it's possible, meaning that would be a good trivia question, according to the Rama. How can you ever be married to a mother and daughter at the same time? According to the Rambam, I think in this case you could, you would say. That would be a big fish. Okay, I think so much for Vanikus Yimanim, and we got to see quite a few famous Rav Chaims. If anyone's interested more in analyzing Kiddushin, the Rav Guzman, his first siman, very famous first siman in Kiddushin, takes this idea that there's more than one aspect of Kiddushin, makes many, many nachminas, and decides in the end there aren't only two aspects of Kiddushin, like Rechaim says here, there are three aspects of Kiddushin, and then does very, very, for example, all of Shas, Kedarka Bakovish. Let's go on to the Gemara now. We just finished with Safra Rechaim Tzimanim. Let's briefly look at Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid Omar, Yud Gimel Amin Aleph. We're ready for Daf Yud Gimel. Rav Zvid Omar, Ein Bonim Velo Simanim. Right, what does Rav Zvid say? Ein banim below simanim. He says different. Rav Safra was a very lumdish point. What was Rav Safra's lumdish point? Banim count to simanim. Rav Zvid is a more practical point. Now, anyone who gave birth must have shtei saros. It's just physically, anyone who's old enough to give birth, anyone who's old enough to have a baby is old enough to have shtei saros. She must have shtei saros. So the Gemara says, v'nivdok. So hold on, why don't we just check if she has shtei saros, right? Now it's a little unclear what the Gemara's question of the nivdok is. This creates a big machlokus. Tosfos is medayik from here. That's a technical point in in Rav Zvid. That Tosfos is medayik here. That we see that Rav Zvid didn't mean davka ein banim below simanim. He meant usually ein banim below simanim. But like, you never know for sure. He meant 99%, but not 100%, because the Gemara says, let's check. If he meant 100%, what's the point of checking? So we're into Tosfos, where Zvid didn't even mean 100%. He just meant 99%. The Ramban brings another pshat who says, no, Zvid meant 100%. Why did the Gemara say, so Tosfos says, Zvid meant 99% of the time, if there's banim, there's simanim. The Gemara says, why not just check in case it's the 1%, like within Zvid. Ramban is a different way of reading it. Rezvid meant 100% of the time ain't banim below simanim. But the Gemara is asking, why don't we, not within Rezvid, why don't we check if Rezvid is right or not? Let's check if Rezvid is right by check the girl and see if Rezvid is right. So therefore, Tosos read Rezvid is 99%. The Nivdok is within Rezvid, cooperating with Rezvid. Why not just check? Ramban said, no, Rezvid is 100%. What's the Nivdok? The Nivdok is, but we don't trust this Rezvid guy so much. Why don't we check? Either way, the Gemara says, Chashin Shema, Shema, Nashru. No, you can't check, because even if we don't see any Saros, maybe there were and they fell out. That's a machlokas in Nida. There's one mandarin says we think that there might have been Saros that fell out. But the other mandarin says, no, I never think there are Saros that fell out. That's highly unlikely. Saros would never fall out. So then what do you do? Even if you hold that we normally don't suspect they fell out, that's in a normal girl who didn't have special trauma. But if she has a baby, that special trauma could make your hairs fall out. And therefore, everyone agrees with Choshesh. Therefore, even if we check, we still assume that she had Shtesaros, and they just fell out because of the Tsar Leda. Okay, there's a big discussion in Tosos. Derim Askel Mishum, which we won't get into now, whether it's Davka, the Tsar of Leda, or the Tsar of Pregnancy, Ayin Shan. The one thing which the Rishon just argue about here is the issue of Tosos, the issue of Rashi. Rashi says, "Ain banim lo simanim tarf Rashi." You let it be katnus chazaka via simanim mishay via simanim tokid beis lo timayin. Right? What's the problem? Ain banim lo simanim. Rizvid says, right? What does Rizvid say? She had simanim. Ain banim lo simanim. The question is, hold on a second, who cares if she has simanim? Right? Again, what are we talking about here? Forget the Rambam, according to the mainstream Rishonim. We're talking about an 11-year-old. The question is, even if she had simanim, if she's 11, we paskin toch zman kalifnei zman. Remember, we discussed that. We discussed that last week. We paskin simanim don't help when you're 11. So, what is Rizvid talking about? So here there are three answers in the Rishonim. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Don't we paskin, who cares if she really had Shtei Saros? We paskin Shtei Saros don't help if you're 11. Exactly. Rizvid Savar Tochzman, Kilacher Zman. Meaning, we don't have to agree with Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid doesn't have to work halacha l'maisa. We don't have to pass like Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid held that simanim when you're 11 also count. Tochzman, Kilacher Zman. Rav Zvid held that Shtei Saros count when you're 11 against the way we normally pass halacha l'maisa nowadays. Okay, so that's what Rav Zvid held. That's the first Rashi. By Yoledes Bekatnus Chazaki V'Simanim Mishav V'Simanim Sochi Beis Lo Tumain Dahani Simon Gemurim Ninhu Sfirle Rav Zvid Tosman Kila Acharzman Linyan Simon V'Lo Aminan Shuma Ninhu. We don't say it's just a mold. Okay, that is Rashi Tosfos at the end of the Rassel Rav Zvid in the last six lines says of a country perish to serve Rav Zvid to Tosman Kila Acharzman De Lo Kehol Chasa. But Tosfos doesn't like that. Nira Lari, right? Tosfos says a different shot. What does Tosfos say? Nira Lari, the Ba'alma, last four lines of Rassel Rav Zvid, Ba'alma Modi Rav Zvid, Tosfos Michael Lifnei Zman. V'shani hacha da'idei banim chashvin al simanim ki'ilahim la'achar zman ki'depreshit na'amid Rav Safra. He says, we're all shown in the Rambam said for Rav Safra. Tosfos says that normally, Shtei Saros Tochzman, meaning before you're 12, are just Shuma. But if you have Bunim, then you must have real Simanim, meaning Shtei Saros She'enon Shuma. So Tulsa says that normally, in a normal case, if you have Shtei Saros before you're 12, we assume that's just a mole and that's not a simon. But that's because the normal case, you have no proof either way. And as a matter of fact, we're so sure we're not even choshish that it's real Saros. But if you have Bunim, it doesn't say Bunim are really Kisaros. Bunim are Kisimanim. Bunim are the equivalent of Shtei Saros that are not a Shuma. It's a proof that it's not a Shuma. So a normal 11-year-old girl who comes with Shtei Saros to say Shuma, that's not a real Simanim. But a girl who gives birth must have had two saros, and since she gave birth, that proves those two saros are real saros and not shuma. That's what Tosa says. The Ramban quotes from, it's not so clear if it's the Ravid or the Rav Avdezdin. It's not so clear. The Rav Avdezdin's right. Father-in-law, let's just call it the Ravid, even though we're not sure if it was the famous Ravid who wrote the Sagos, or it was his father, right, Ravram ben David, Sagos, or his father-in-law, Ravram ben Yitzhak Avdezdin, the author of the Sefer Eshkol. But he quotes from the Ravid a third shot. To answer this question, for how can Rav Zvid say, just because she is Saros, how does that help if she's not 12 yet, and Saros before 12 don't help? And the Tosafot Chaim Kamai also quotes this from the Ravid. It's even on the page. There's a little Tosafot Chaim Kamai on this one. It says someplace here. Rav Zvid in Bavli Simanim, and the Chorit seems like Rav Zvid holds Tosafot Michael Acher's mind, like Rashi says. But then we don't pass like that, so we say no. Really, Rav Zvid admits that Shtei Saros. If Mishum Hachi is Lan Farish, Rav Zvid the almost feeling Tosafot Michael lift these mountains. Mishum Hachi is Lan Farish, the Amayit Tan Grab Rishmol Kai, Uvul Acher's mind, Rahachi Grab, the Olam Shem and Sabre, Vietam, Mishain Tana, Yodledes. He says, Rav Zvid said very Pasha. He says, really, simanim only count after 12. But Rav Zvid has the girsa of Shema Tis'aber Vitamus, and there's no such case as Bonim before 12. That's the answer, similar one, the answer for the right, for the Rambam, and that's in the end he quotes, that's the right, it says, he says, Rizvid, no problem, Rizvid says, Bonim Bonim ain't Bonim blue Simonim, she must have had Simonim, how does Simonim help? She was over 12. What if she was under 12? No, Rizvid is the Gers of Shem, the Samar, Vitamus. She was under 12, she would have died. So if she was under 12, she would have died, it would never have happened. It can only happen if she's above 12, and if she's above 12, then there's no problem Simonim counts. So the whole kasha was based on the case that what if she gives birth before 12? Then how did the Simonim help? And Rashi says he must hold that Simonim before 12 count. Tosa says no, Simonim before 12 are normally Shuma. But if she has bonded, that proves it's real Simonim, they count. The Rabbi just says it's never a kasha in the first place. There is no such case the woman gives birth before 12. Because he goes back to the years of Shem the Saber Vit almost, and he thinks no one could ever live and give birth before 12. So anyone who converted after 12, and after 12, ain't but a close simanim, and you're home free. That's the shot of the Ravid, as quoted in the Ramban, the Toschavni Kamai, and others. Okay, that's Rav Zvid. Now I think we're ready to go on to the next sugya. The next sugya is really Chazara for us. The Ketzav Potra Sorosayim said, Menahani Mili, how do we know the Aser Tzorosayim, the Tzoros Sorosayim, etc.? Amra Yud, Amra Kra, Litzror, Hator Mitzvah, Tzoros Harbei. Litzror means, doesn't say Latzor, one Tzor. Means even many tsaros. Right? Ravashi Amar Svarhi. Svar my tsar my time is even Makam Arabic time. Tsar Saranami Makam Arabic time. Ravashi says to Svara, why isn't Svara Asar? Because she's like the Erba. Right? We had a whole Chakira how she's like the Erba. Is she like the Erba because there's a Turgibo and now she's Ashes Akshal Baka Mitzvah? Or is she like the Erba because the status of the Erba is Chal on her also? But if the tsar becomes an erva, then the tsar is the tsar of an erva. So the chain continues down the line. Okay, very relatively straightforward. We know that the Tosos already in the beginning asked the Chazara, the famous Kasha. We already have a Brisa. Remember the Brisa that Gimel and Beis says tsar tsar minayin. Hamalomer litzror. The Brisa already said like Rabbi Yehuda here. There was already Brisa that sounded like Rabbi Yehuda, then why are Rabbi Yehuda and Rashi arguing? If it's already Brisa, why do they ask the question? And then why does only one Amor say what's in the Brisa and one says something else? That's very difficult. So the two classic answers were, if you recall, Tosfos Beis Avin Aleph says no. The Brisa was talking about Sarah. That's in the Brisa that's covered by the Tosfos Gosson. Our Gemara is talking about ad sofa olam, third, fourth, fifth steps. Right. Well, that's how we know two steps. Let's roar. How do we know third, fourth, fifth step? And there, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the double resh means any amount of steps. Rash says, no, it's a svar to extend it to any amount of steps. That is Tosfos's answer. If we recall from the Grun, Gimel and Beis, he quoted from the Ramban and from the Sefer Yashar, Rabbeinu Tam, who answered by having a different gears in Gimel and Beis. They never had Sarasar in the Brisa. Said the Brisa never dealt with this. Okay, the Brisa didn't deal with this. The Gemara has to bring it up. There was no Brisa. There was a mistake in Gersa. We pointed out that Rashi is exceedingly difficult because Rashi, unlike the Grasim that had the Gersa and Gimel and Beis, the Brisa already explained where you know Sarasara. And Rashi here says, Menani Mili, the Sarasarasa Petura, that we're discussing Sarasara. So for Rashi, it's Hakastira. If it was already a Brisa, how could they be discussing it in the Gemara here? And I did not have a good answer for Rashi. I haven't seen a good answer for Rashi. Why does the Stira, Rashi, Gimel and Beis sounds like the Brisa already covered Sarasara? So if the Brisa already covered it, why are they asking it again in this Gemara, not pointing out there's already a Brisa that gives her a good answer? I didn't have a good answer for Rashi. Oh, that was Chazar. Next Gemara says, Ketan, Mesuhin, etc. Vafilu Kanas, Mosof, Girish. What does the Mishnah say? If you remember, if the my brother is married to, you know, my daughter or my Erva and another wife, and the Erva died, then it's no problem. If the Erva died, then there's no issue of Tsaras Erva. The Gemara says, Vafilu Kanas, Uvasof, Girish. Even if he married the other woman, and then the heir of a woman died. What's Kanas Lusof Girish? Here's Reuven, and here's Shimon, right? And what does that mean? That in Tavshin Ayin, Shimon marries Rachel, who is Reuven's erva. Next year, he marries Leah, who is unrelated. That's Kanas. Uvasov Giresh. Then he divorces Rachel. And then, not quite there yet, Shimon dies. Now when Shimon dies, what happens? Only Leah falls before Reuven for Yibam. Leah is not a Tsaras Erva because she would have been a Tsaras Erva if he had died 2 years earlier, right? But since he divorced the Erva, Leah is not a Tsaras Erva, even though they were Tsaros, they had 1 year of Tsaros, right? There was 1 year when they were Tsaros, right? From 5771, from Tufshin Ayin Aleph, Tufshin Ayin Beis, they were Tsaros, right? They were co-wives. But since they stopped being Tsaros when he died, at the time of Nefila when he died, they weren't Tsaros, so it's no problem. That's what the Gemara is B'dayik from the Mishnah. Urim Inhu. However, we bestir from later on. Gimel Achim Shnayim Yishum Beis Achayus Echad Nosoi Nachris. Girish Echad B'balei Achayus Ishto Umeis HaNosoi Nachris. V'kinsa HaMegari Shemeis Zoi Sha'amru Shemeis U'Nesgar Shud Tsarosei Enmu Taros. What does it say here? It's a bit of a complicated case. Tosa says, if you look later on, he'll explain why they make such a complicated case, but that's not important for us. There are three brothers. Let's figure out what these three brothers are doing. That's the case in the Mishnah later on Daf Lamed. What's the case on Daf Lamed? There are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right? What happens? Two of them are married to two achayos, and one is married to, not chas v'shalom anachris, but to a unrelated girl, right? Here, he marries Rachel, marries Leah, who are sisters, and he marries, I don't know who he marries, who do we always use for people to marry? Let's say, who's not related to anyone here? Tzipporah, right? She's not related to anyone here. Right, and then what happens? Girish echmi balechayis ishto umeis hanachi nachtus kin shahamagarish. So, Shimon divorces Leah, then Reuben dies, And because Reuven dies, Shimon marries Zipporah. And then Shimon dies. Now, is Levi led to give him to Zipporah? Isn't she the Sarah of his sister-in-law Leah? No! Because Leah was divorced, right? There's only one wife, Zipporah. So that's the case, the Gemara says. Zui Sha'amru, this is the case where if she got divorced, the Tzara's mutter. Now what's the difference? This is a case of Kanas Ulvasof Girish. This is Girish Ulvasof Kanas. So what's the Zoe? Zoe is a miyot. It sounds like time of the Girish Rechaga Kanas. Kanas Rechaga is Girish Lo. It sounds from this Zuhi because they were never Tzaros together, right? There wasn't 1 minute they were Tzaros. Leah was gone before Tzipora came. Again, why we have to have Reuven and everything? Why not just Stam say he married Tzipora? That's for a separate deal, for a separate sugya. That's not our business. That's what Tosfos says. Shlosha Achen. Later on, I'll explain why they need three brothers. Why not just have marrying Tzipora? That has nothing to do with our sugya. But what it sound like here? Only because they were never Tzoros for 1 minute. But if they had been Tzoros for 1 minute, it'd be a problem. So Amar of Yirmiyah Tavra Mishanazu Loshanazu. Even though they're Mishnais, the same Masechet, that they're different opinions. Haytana Sover Misa Apelas. By Tanasavar Nisuin Rishonim Apilin. Right? What does Rav Yirmiya say? Rav Yirmiya say, this Tana holds Misa Mapeles. That's our Mishnah. And the Tana later on holds Nisuin Harishonim Mapilin. Two dip meaning, Kanas, so he holds Kanas. All of a sof, Girish is mutter, and he holds Kanas. All of a sof, Girish is the Isser of Tzaras Erva. Rava denies this. Rava says, Rava Amar Liolam Chantanahu, Zubi and Tzarkhul Zomer Zukatan. No, you misunderstood. That's not. You have to look later on. In the third parak to find out what the Zohi is coming to. Bimamite then. But Rava says, no, both Mishnahites agree Kanas Losov Girish is mutter. What do they mean? But they mean to say Zohi and Sarah Kanas Losov Girish is mutter. And obviously Girish Losov Kanas is mutter. But this means to say, it's not Girish Losov Kanas is mutter, but Kanas Losov Girish is aser. No, it means to say, once in the first parak we told you Kanas Losov Girish is mutter, then the third record says, and obviously, Girish Losof Kanas is mutter. Why, once you already told us something, do we have to later tell something that's even more obvious? That's what Zubi and Sarah Lomar Zukatani means, that it's the derech of the Tana to teach us something, and then tell us something else that's obvious based on that, even though you would think it wasn't necessary, and you would think that's against the rules of writing Mishnayis. No, Zubi and Sarah Lomar Zukatani means it's a valid way of writing Mishnayis. So, now, who's writing out the Mishnayis is an interesting question. Rava says all the Mishnayis hold Kanas Losof Girish is mutter. Just Zubi and Tzarkhlo and Zubi. And Rav Yirmiya says, no, it's Machlok between the Mishnah. The first parak, that's Tavra. The Chiddush to break things up. Right? That Mishnah Zulu Shana Zulu. The first parak holds its mutter, and the second parak holds its Usser. What's interesting is, what is the Svara of Rav Yirmiya? The Svar of Rahimi is that our Manda, our Mishnah says, Misa Mapelis. What does Misa Mapelis mean? When Nephila, right? Like the Yibum starts. When do you become Chayiv and Yibum? What would we think? Like if we didn't know this so good at all, if I ask you, no, when is the Nephila the Yibum? When does the Chayiv Yibum start? What would you say? When the guy dies, right? So he's saying, it starts when the guy dies. Who cares if they were Tzaros a year ago? Right? Bishas Misa, she's not a Tzara. Bishas Misa, he only has one life. Who cares if they were Tzaros earlier? Bishas Misa, Misa is when Yibum starts, and at Misa, she's not Tzaros Erba. But, what would Mandam Rishun Rishun Mapilim say? Right? The Mandam Rishun Rishun Mapilim would say she's also in this case. Because when does Yibum start? Yibum starts when you get married. That's a big chiddush. Every time, you know, when I married my wife, you would think when a guy's under the chuppah and marries his wife, that's just a normal, happy marriage. If the guy dies without kids, lo aleinu, then all of a sudden there'll be a new parasha called Yibum. That's Mamre Misa Mapelas. Rava says everyone agrees. And therefore, who cares who was a tzara? We hear at the time of Misa who was a tzara. We don't care who was a tzara a year ago. But no, Rabbi Yirmi says that the Tana of the third parak holds Nisunim Shonim Apilim. That the second a guy is Mekadosh a girl under the chuppah, immediately starts the Nefilah Yibam. Immediately starts a Chiyuv Yibam as soon as I marry a girl, and I have no kids, right? Let's say the guy's getting married for the first time, right? He's a firm guy, he has no kids. So as soon as I marry a girl, immediately, or maybe even if I do have kids, because after all, no one can promise, you know, how long the kids will survive. So if a guy marries a girl, immediately there starts a chiyuv yibam for his brothers on this girl. It's just not practiced until he dies. But immediately there's this chiyuv yibam out there. And therefore, since the chiyuv yibam starts all along, the tefillah starts all along, if she starts error for one moment in the middle, then that's an issur called Tsaras Erva. She was Tsaras Erva during the time of the mitzvah of Yibam. That seems to be the fundamental machlokas here. Okay, we will have to call it a day for now, but I want to come back to next time, Yitz Hashem, is just analyze exactly, this seems to be a very, very, very big fiddish, this whole idea of Nisuin Mishonim Mapilim. Analyze exactly, look at the Tosafot later on, exactly for what nafkaminas do we say Nisun Rishonim Apilim, for what nafkaminas do we not say Nisun Rishonim Apilim, like is it really true that we have a Chiyuv Yibam starts under the chuppah, and we'll pick up with that Mirz Hashem next time, because Thursday is Purim, we'll just move Shir a little earlier to Wednesday at the end of Seder, all the Brisk guys can make it. Hopefully more people can make it. Wednesday 12:30 we'll pick up 11:30 event. Yeah, Wednesday 11:30 we'll pick up a Mirat Session.
Is there a difference over here that the view of you is there a difference between the definition of a Tsaras Erva applies it?
Aha,
the same thing. Oh you wait.
That's the $64,000 question. Okay. Did you look at the grizz? What? Yeah. So that's exactly what he says.
Okay.
That's what pretty much everyone says.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure I know the way out of it. It's so good, I think it's actually Mukhra, which would be a very important hour that we'll mention publicly next time.